You're listening to Louisiana Insider, a superlative guide to a great state's destinations, hosted by Errol Labor, executive editor of Louisiana Life magazine.
It's our Louisiana song. It's our favorite melody. It's our Louisiana song. Hearing it echo through the cypress tree.
Our topic today is the Day of the Dead, a really intriguing conversation. It's celebrated in New Orleans and each year. I guess the main day is November 1st. And with me is Sally Ann Glassman, who's doing some great stuff in New Orleans. She is actually an ordained voodoo priest. And she's ordained by, I guess, went to Haiti and went through all the ceremonies. And so things that go on in the world of voodoo, the legitimate things that go on, like the on St. John's Eve, when Bayou St. John and the various ceremonies, she has a hand in it. And so she's doing a good job of like preserving the culture and especially, I guess, what you call this Central American type of culture as voodoo would be. And thank goodness she's doing that. So the Day of the Dead. Hi, Sally.
Hey.
Let's get straight. All right. Is it fair to say that it is a Mexican tradition?
The Day of the Dead is considered a Mexican tradition. It's actually a time of year that's practiced around the world. But apparently, historically, started in medieval Spain, recognized as the time of year when the veil between the living and the dead is most diffuse, and so people welcome back their beloved dead and their ancestors and honor them with feasts on the tombs and candles to light the way for the ancestors to come back. And that got transported to Mexico. And it has become a really major celebration there. But there are similar celebrations around the world, Samhain in Europe and Halloween in the United States and All Saints and All Souls Day. And Haiti corresponds to Fête Gede, which takes place during the whole month of November, but especially on November 1st and 2nd.
Well, what is it about November 1st and 2nd that makes this particular theme? Like you said, it's all over the world. I mean, we have All Saints Day and All Souls Day. What is there about those dates that they occur around that time?
So we're moving into winter, and the nights are shorter, or the nights are longer, the days are shorter. There's a focus on crops dying for the winter, and the realization that we're in a transitional time. We're going from summer and fall into winter, and at transitional times, the spring equinox and this time of year, that the world is morphing, it's changing. And within the element of death is also the element of life. We know that there'll be rebirth at the end of this. There will be spring and followed by summer. And so that sense of the veil that defines these two worlds, the living and the dead, and separates them is most frail at this time.
So all around the world, these separate cultures develop the similar theme independent of each other.
Yes, correct. So there's something to it. Something that we recognize in our experience that makes this something that almost all cultures recognize.
It wasn't Day of the Dead. I know there's Spanish origins to it, but wasn't there some Aztec influence to it also?
I'm sure all of these things take influences in the Caribbean world and in Louisiana colony. There were all kinds of influences present. There were certainly African enslaved people. There were European Catholics, there were native people in all these places, there were Masons in all of these places, and they all contributed a little something something to all of these practices. And we could talk about it as cultural exchange, that we influence one another, and we also recognize something in our shared humanity.
But you know, in New Orleans, at least, All Saints Day doesn't seem to be the sort of celebration it used to be. I mean, I remember as a kid on All Saints Day, you'd ride around, you'd see these people who'd be selling mums to bring to the cemetery, and they'd be, and now you just don't see any of that. I mean, you might see a special mass or anything, but that doesn't seem to have its significance. I think Mardi Gras makes a statement, okay, and then let's get the mashes and it's all over with. Is Day of the Dead at all related to voodoo?
So they're separate practices, I guess you could say, but the Gede, who are celebrated in the month of November in Haiti, and in Haitian Vodou, are the spirits that rule over the dead, the spirits that lead the dead. And so there is some recognition between these two cultures. You'll see all kinds of skeletons. You'll see human beings being sort of mocked in terms of skeletal forms of all of the identifiers that we use. So as humans, we posture and we claim to be authorities on whatever, and I'm a voodoo priestess, and somebody else might be a banker, and somebody else might be a server in a restaurant, and you'll see skeletal figures depicting all of those roles that we posture for ourselves, because death is the great equalizer. In Haitian Vodou, the Gede absolutely make fun of us and all the things we think of as being our identities in life. And particularly if a person is posturing and being insincere, pretending to be something that they're not, the Gede will out you and they'll embarrass you in public and make fun of you. And for people who are sincere and sort of acknowledge the truth of themselves, the Gede are very solid characters who will give you solid, reliable answers to your questions and your concerns. So they also happen to be the spirits who are patron of the small children. So there's something about the Gede that speak to us as human beings and inspire us to maybe be more honest about ourselves and present our true selves, our true faces.
Now, are they, how do you pronounce them? Gede? The Gede? Okay. I mean, are these just like spiritual creatures, or are there people who dress like them, like, do you ever see one, or are you just looking for them?
So one of the interesting things about Vodou and a Vodou ceremony is that these spirits come and take over a person's body through spirit possession or possession trance. So an individual's identity moves aside and these spirits enter. There's a whole family of Gedes. There are Baron Samdi and Baron Simitier and all these barons that are the chiefs of the family. There are female Gedes. There's Maman Brigitte, who's the mother of all the dead. There's Gedalia. They have all different kinds of personalities and unique traits. Also, all of your family dead, everyone who dies becomes a part of the Gede family. And they can possess people. So you do get to meet them in ceremony, in a community ceremony like the one we have at the New Orleans Healing Center on November 1st, where we have drummers and dancers and singers, and people become possessed by these entities who then speak to us and do healings because they stand at the crossroads between life and death. They also are tremendous healers when there's a life and death situation. So you get to know them through these encounters. You meet them and they They appear like family or old friends, and they speak to our human condition because they were once people in life, and they've gone through the initiation of death. And so they communicate with us from perhaps a different perspective than we have while we're in the midst of life. And it's really fascinating and inspiring to have conversation with these spirits that are already moved on from life.
Oh. So this sounds like, I guess, a lot of things borrow, like what you hear from the Catholic churches and some of these fundamental things where people hear the spirit and see the spirit, that same sort
Yeah.
of thing.
I think it is very similar. And some people call it possession, some people call it inspiration. Some people call it divine theater. And there's a phrase that the theater, ordinary theater, makes believe, and divine theater makes real. So these are sort of invisible, conceptual, archetypal beings that become real and encased in flesh and blood and communicate with us.
Okay, let's talk about the Day of the Dead, which is, I guess, people identify more with Mexico. It's very colorful. I mean, things I see. You have a Day of the Dead ceremony. I mean, what happens during Day of the Dead?
We open our doors at 5 o'clock when we have a whole marketplace, which is something that you would characteristically see in Mexican towns for the Day of the Dead. And there's lots of artisans selling really amazing creative stuff. And we also have numerous altars throughout the lobby of the Healing Center that are created by artists, and their interfaith are from all different kind of beliefs to honor the dead and to honor the ancestors. And then at from 7 to 10, we have a full-on voodoo ceremony with initiated drummers and singers and dancers, and possession trance generally happens. And then at the end of that, we do a procession. We bring offerings to the corner lot by the Healing Center, where there's a
Around what time is this?
that's from 10 to 10:30
At night?
at the end of the night. Yeah, we say prayers from different interfaith traditions again, and we pass flame, candle light between all the participants, and we say the praise names for our beloved dead, and then we feed the dead. And we ask people to dress in white with purple headscarves, or to wear purple and black, which is the color of that the Geddes prefer, and to bring a small offering of food or drink, either for the Geddes spirits or for their own ancestors or their beloved dead. And so everybody becomes part of this event, this ceremony. Everybody's participating in it.
Now, I've been to your St. John's Eve ceremony on the Bay of St. John, and there's also a thing about dressed in white and having purple and bringing food. Do they borrow from each other? Or?
Well, in Vodou, you wear white for what are called Rada ceremonies, the gentler, more benign, sort of more religious ceremonies. Purple and black are the colors that's particular for the Geddes. So at St. John's Eve, it's a more formal religious ceremony, and people wear white for that. The Day of the Dead, Fete Gedi, is all about the Gedi, so we dress in purple and black for that. When we do our hurricane ceremony, that's dedicated to a spirit named Erzeli Dantor, who's more fiery, revolutionary, fiercer spirit, and so we dress in the color red because that's the color of power in Vodou.
Now, you talk about that particular person, I always kind of botch trying to pronounce your name, but in New Orleans, especially honored saint is Our Lady of Prompt Succor.
Right.
Okay, now aren't those two kind of related to each other?
They are related, and when during colonial times, when the kidnapped Africans were taken into slavery in the colony, they were forced to convert to Catholicism. And so the African people saw symbols in the chromolithograph images of the saints that they recognized from their own spirits and their own worship in Africa. So, for instance, Our Lady of Prompt Succor became associated with Erzélie Dantor, who is a fierce revolutionary spirit of love, actually, in Vodou. Saint Patrick became associated with Dumbala because Saint Patrick is shown driving snakes out of Ireland, and Dumbala is considered to be a snake spirit. So these became blinds or masks for the spirits that they were actually serving.
Now, the actual Day of the Dead ceremony, I've seen the pictures. I mean, it's very colorful. Don't you have, you have altars and food and displays? What
Altars,
you
food.
describe what the setting would look like if you walk in there?
It's actually quite beautiful, and the altars are magnificent. I'm always so impressed with the work that people put together. The installations are mind-blowing. The air itself we have infused with purple light to encourage Gede to show up. There's food that's made by a Haitian woman, Mamoun Marie Saint-Germain, that is really a crowd pleaser. There's a central altar with a black cross that's the signature for Gede, and people have brought all kinds of offerings. Everybody's in black and purple or white and purple, and there's a lot of people there, and drummers and singers and dancers. And I think people have seen too many Hollywood movies about Vodou to realize that it's actually not, there's not going to be horrific things that you see there. It's not depraved at all. It's beautiful ceremony. The music is astounding. It's all call and response with very complex drum rhythms and master drummers playing. We are not professional performers by any means, but the whole crowd gets involved. Everybody's encouraged to dance and participate if they feel like it. So there's a lot of movement, there's a lot of color. Everything in a Vodou ceremony is intended to open the doors between the living and the dead, the visible and the invisible, the spiritual and the material. And so it's more than just a visual thing or even an auditory thing. There's an awful lot going on to activate the senses, but there's also something much deeper going on. And we're having that experience of going deep into the spiritual waters and inviting those two worlds to exchange and experiencing that exchange. It's quite remarkable, and it's an irreplaceable ongoing experience of the divine in our everyday life.
Has anybody ever come up to you and say, "Sally, I got to tell you about the experience I just had"? I mean, have you heard people?
Oh, absolutely. Every time we do a ceremony, it's truly life-changing for a lot of people. And for people who are seeking a sense of meaning and connection to something beyond themselves, it is an irreplaceable experience and a profound one. And it's hard to explain how it happens or why it happens, but without fail, every ceremony that we do, somebody there or several people there just say what a life changer it was for them.
Do you know, is this still practiced extensively in Mexico, or is it just?
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah, the Day of the Dead. I've been there for the Day of the Dead, at least the last day. Sometimes I make it on November 2nd after our event. But there are certain areas of Mexico where it's absolutely alive and ongoing. Pátzcuaro, for instance, is one of the centers for the Day of the Dead, and there's an island right there in the middle of a lake that's just lit up with candles and offerings and grave displays, and the cemeteries are spectacular with mum displays and candles and food, and families go out there and celebrate. It's a really celebratory event. It is not a very staid, we might be surprised that people are partying on the grave sites instead of mourning. It's a happy event.
You know, there are some traditions, and when it comes to Mon, it's like St. Joseph's altars, which is a Sicilian tradition. And that kind of went with the immigrants. In Sicily, they don't really do that anymore. But New Orleans is kind of the center. And so I've seen that happen too. So I'm wondering if it's the if it's the same sort of thing. I was in San Diego a few years ago with the conference, and it was around Halloween. And one day we took a walk into the old town in San Diego, and I was expecting to see a lot of Halloween decorations. Didn't see any, but I did see Day of the Dead. Like in San Diego, I mean, what's Halloween? But here's Day of the Dead.
Yeah, and I noticed that the traditional Halloween colors, green and I mean orange and black, have somehow given way to purple and black. So I think Gede is making his influence known. But I also want to take a nod to Mexican and Latino people who have contributed so vastly to the recovery of New Orleans after Katrina. And I think it's a great thing to honor their contribution to the city and to the culture of the city, and to have this day of celebration with them.
Well, I can tell you, my experience, it was really, I don't know if they're all from Mexico, but the Hispanic workers who saved us in terms of like rebuilding and doing the construction that needed. I mean, they were really
Absolutely.
part of the story,
Yeah. So in my shop, the Island of Salvation Botanica, we have so many Latina people that come in that I'm trying to learn Spanish on Duolingo. I speak French, but I'm trying to learn Spanish so I can have a better conversation with them. And just absolutely delightful, hardworking, good people.
You've mentioned the healing center, and there are some people who may not be aware of that, but this is something that you started in Bywater, and it does all kind of things. They have all kind of events and
Yeah, we started working on it. My husband and I are the co-founding co-chairman, but we had a lot of help from a lot of people who contributed and worked really hard to make this happen. And it was after Katrina, and we wanted to figure out a way that we could contribute to the rebuilding in a way that would be absolutely New Orleanian. And we picked the corner of St. Claude and St. Roch because it was one of the targeted renovation districts. And we wanted to create an amount of activity, a critical mass of activity that would move like a wave through the neighborhood and bring renovation to the neighborhood, which is what happened. But we also wanted it to be healing. We wanted it to serve the needs of the community and the neighborhood, and we wanted it to bring together the two sides of St. Claude Avenue. And it's been an astounding amount of work, and continues to be, and absolutely worth it.
And this was
It's
an
a
existing building that you all bought and just converted it.
yeah, it was an old furniture store. And sort of windy and labyrinthine and dark. And we opened it up and put skylights in and prettied it up and decorated the lobby. And now there, I'm not sure of the exact number now, but 25 plus businesses and organizations that in some way serve healing needs for the community. And it's been really beautiful. We have all kinds of stuff going on there.
And then you have your own place with the Isle of Salvation Botanica, or
Yeah, my shop, the Island of Salvation Botanica, I moved it in there. I've had the shop since 95, I guess, and it's a spiritual supply shop, and we do readings and We have everything from candles to oils to incense to herbs and powders and potions and chicken feet fetishes and all kinds of stuff that people might want to use to reach their the a sense of spiritual meaning and connection.
Now, the voodoo tradition is it alive other than what you do? I mean, are there really people who live their lives around it now?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen figures, and I don't know how they come to these figures, but I've seen figures that 80 million people worldwide practice some form of vodou, whether Haitian vodou or Santeria or Makumba, Lukumi or Palo Mayombe. There's all different related traditions and practices. But in New Orleans, I think it is absolutely active, and I am by no means the only person practicing here. There are all kinds of groups and communities and individuals who live their lives around service to this tradition.
Now you pronounce it,
Voodoo, yeah.
well, the people just say voodoo like I do, but you use the spelling VODU.
OU, VODOU, which is the Haitian Creole spelling and refers to the Haitian religion. In Africa, it's referred to as Vodun, Vodun. People here say voodoo, but for me, that triggers a sense of tourism and Hollywood movies, and it seems to me like an exploited term, and gets confused with hoodoo, which is more of a spellcraft and root work, conjure, that kind of thing.
When you were ordained, and I know it was in Haiti, I know from past, it was in Haiti, and there was one. Is there anything you could tell us about the ceremony to being ordained?
I can tell you a little bit. Some things are already written in books and exposed, but I did take oaths not to talk about it much, not to reveal any of the secrets about it, mostly because you don't want to ruin somebody else's experience. And a great deal of it is sort of taking that leap of faith into an unknown experience and trusting spirit to come through it. I found that it takes about 6 days, 6.5 days. You're in isolation from the outside world. You're instructed to lay on your left side and dream. And that is punctuated with some very intense Masonically based ceremonies during that time. And for me, as a very distracted Westerner, just laying on your left side for 6.5 days was
I would think
a
so.
pretty intense requirement. And I found that it stripped me of everything that I used to identify myself physically, spiritually, emotionally, philosophically. And I went through a very dark night of the soul at one point, and was saying that, to myself, that I'm just a sorry excuse for an initiate. What did I think I was doing there, and what a failure I was in life. And my papa, the man who initiated me, Edgar Jean-Louis, came in and started talking to me. And you're in such an altered state just from being in that environment that I couldn't tell if he was really there, or if I was dreaming, or having an hallucination, or a vision. I just didn't know what was going on. And we talked for hours, and he managed to talk me down from the ceiling and from my disturbance. At the end of which, I was able to say to spirit, "Okay, this is me. These are my strengths, these are my weaknesses, and this is what I've got, and I hope you'll accept me in service." And it allowed me to take up my power and move through the initiation and be all right. I saw Edgar the night after the initiation finished, and I asked him if he had been there, if we'd had this conversation, and he smiled and said, "Oh, we had that conversation, all right." And he proceeded to launch into the same discussion. We talked about the same things. And the thing was, Edgar spoke Haitian Creole, and at the time I didn't. I spoke French, and he didn't speak French. And we understood each other perfectly. We had this very involved philosophical conversation, and I understood him perfectly. And from that point on, I could understand him speaking Creole, even though I didn't speak Creole. It was really fascinating. And I'll never know if he was actually in the room or if we just had this psychic conversation. I'll never know.
Wow. And so there was a ceremony where you were ordained?
There were several ceremonies. The whole thing is a ceremony. It's just a 6.5 day long ceremony.
And it actually was all over. You actually became a disciple. I mean, you went to the United States and spread the word.
Yeah, as it turned out, I did promise Edgar and I have godparents in Haiti as well, and I promised that I would use whatever platform I had to promote a better, clearer understanding of Vodou and a greater acceptance and tolerance for it. Vodou has been so maligned. I think because it is a source of power for the people who were enslaved, and because it is a technology for opening that door between the visible and invisible and calling through invisible power, which was terrifying to people who were trying to enslave other people. And so there was an actual PR campaign, a negative PR campaign intended to denigrate Vodou and claim that it was evil and against God, when certainly the institution of slavery was what was evil about all of that.
Well, congratulations on what you've done. I mean, really,
thanks.
You're the person who preserves all this. So if people want to see all this, okay, this is done on November 1st. That'd be the big day, right? Every year, okay?
Every year, November 1st.
Is there anything like on a website or something that get information?
There's information on the NewOrleansHealingCenter.org website and all over our social media. On my own, I have a Vodou society here called, it's going to be hard for people to understand this, but La Source Ancienne, the ancient source, and all over our social media and my own social media, Sally Ann Glassman, on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
That's Sally, and all S-A-L-L-I-E.
That's right, yes. And no E on Ann, so S-A-L-L-I-E-A-N-N.
All right, go to the Healing Center and visit.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a great education. Sounds kind of funny to say "Happy Day of the Dead," but the way you
describe it, I guess. It is a happy day.
Yeah, we get to a moment of happiness to it. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, Sally. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Louisiana Insider. Subscribe, like, and rate our show where you listen to your podcasts, and follow us on social media at Louisiana Life Mag. Executive producer for Louisiana Insider is Kelly Massico, in cooperation with Louisiana Life Magazine. For subscription information to Louisiana Life, call 504-828-1380. Our theme music was provided by Rich Collins. Hey, that's me. Join us again next week for more discoveries inside Louisiana.